Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.
Have been discussing exploring the love of God, so we're continuing on in that. And I'll be honest. I was sharing with some of our team members. You know, it doesn't matter how many years that I've been a believer and a Christian. Like, it's amazing how God continues to show me things, to show us things as we grow. And there's still things I'm learning about love in Him. And I believe that this series is so awesome, not just for the season, like you said, Elder Eddie, but for this time. It goes beyond the season, but it's a word for these times. So, yes, I'm so glad to be doing this with you, Elder Eddie. I joke around and I say, man, you put two criers on the stage. How are we going to get through this? But God is good, and we're glad to share the word together. And, you know, thank you for being willing to do this.
Well, thank you. I'm really honored. I must have not messed up too much because they asked me to come back again. But I'm really honored to stand before God's people and share. It's such an honor. It really is. And I'm really blessed to have been given an opportunity just to share some of the things that the Lord's put on our hearts for everyone to begin to enter in and into this overflow of experiencing and exploring the love of God.
Amen. Let's start with a word of prayer. God, we just thank you for this moment, for this opportunity, God, to dive into your word. And we just give you thanks for your word. It says that it's quicker than any and more powerful than any two-edged sword. And we pray, God, that you would cut away the things in our heart and our minds that are not from you, that need to be cut off. God, let our minds be renewed this morning as we hear your word. And Lord, let this word take deep root in our hearts and bring forth much fruit. We thank you for it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's start in Romans. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 20 and through 22. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And then they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. This is so key. We can look around us and see God's handiwork, right? We can see God through nature. We can see it through people. We can see it in biology, in reproduction. We can see God's work all around us. So we really don't have an excuse not to know. But, you know, the second part of this scripture says that they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. There's something that happens when you don't do that, because it says as a result, they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. So then this means that there is room for us to be led astray. There's room for us to go in a different direction. When we are worshiping, when we are giving thanks to God, we are moving in a direction that's closer to him. So the same can be said for the opposite. When we withhold, when we are not thankful, when we don't worship him, we're moving further away. And when we move further away, the less we see clearly. Being further from God opens you up to deception. And I want to make sure we hear that, because it says it in the word, when they weren't there, when they weren't sitting closely to him, when they weren't worshiping him, when they weren't thanking him, their minds became dark. You know, sometimes we think it's some tragic thing that happens to us, or it's over time. It's just like whenever you talk about somebody who is deceived, right? We've probably all experienced in life knowing somebody that was deceived about something. That's not something that happened overnight, right? And they're so sure of it. They're like, I am right. I know that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But that's how deception works. You can't see clearly because you are deceived. So when we lack in the area of worship, when we lack in the area of being thankful, we leave like a space for the enemy to come in and then plant thoughts and mindsets that are not God's mindset. It's not God's way of thinking. So worship and thanksgiving are key in exploring God's love. And we can't get so, this is what happens too, we begin to become familiar. We can't get so familiar with him that we stop seeing him, we stop knowing him, you know? So here's the principle that all of us need to check ourselves is get rid of familiarity. Get rid of familiarity because it's easier than we think for it to creep up on us. The whole reason for us continuing to explore God and explore his love is so that we don't become familiar. Elder Eddie, what are some ways that you've seen that we can fall into familiarity?
Well, during the worship, I'm hearing from the Lord, and he says, because we're not in position, we're not honoring him, that means you're in position, we're not thankful, in this, we get out of position is what happens. And the Lord showed me, look at King David, someone who loved God. In fact, in the Old Testament, you'll have to faith check me on this, there's only one scripture that mentions someone saying, I love you, God, and it was David in Psalm 18:3. So you know he loved God. But there's a scripture that says when it was time for kings to go out to war, he stayed home. He stayed in the castle. So he got out of position. Mm. Once he was out of position, because he had become so familiar with God. Yeah. Every time I go out to war with the Lord, we win. Yeah. I don't need to go out. I just can stay home. I'm familiar, Lord. I know what you're going to do. Before I get there, what happens? He takes a glance, and tragedy happens in his life.
Right.
And so it happened that quickly with familiarity. We, even in our marriages, we love our wives that we've been married to, our brides, and we know them for years. I've been married 17 years. I thought I knew my wife. We married 10 years at this time. We moved to the Carolinas, and now I'm working in a store, stocking shelves. You know, being totally crushed, and I get to see my wife work in her position as a receiver in the back door. She used to be a grocery manager. Store managers were coming up to her and asking her for advice on how to make displays, on how to make merchandising. And I was looking like, who is this person? I had no idea who I was married to, and because I had become familiar with her, but I didn't pursue to know more. And when the more was in front of me, I realized I loved her more than I knew. Because I wasn't familiar with her anymore. This was a new, I know her as a Debbie, but at work she was a Deborah.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You know, we are so blessed to be in this country that we can meet at any time on Sundays and, you know, now a little bit less. But when I did Skyping to underground churches in underground churches around the world, and they would come at 3 o'clock in the morning so we could minister to them prophetically at 10 in the morning. And they were so hungry and they were so grateful. They didn't take the Lord for familiarity because at any moment, if they were found, they would be taken out. So they don't live in familiarity, but we tend to live that way sometimes. And we want to keep growing in our knowledge of the Lord and seeking him out, finding out more about him, and this way we don't become familiar.
Tell them about how in the English language we have one word to describe love, but how in Greek it's different.
Well, the scripture says he came into the fullness of time. Jesus came to the fullness of time. I believe he came at that time. One of the many reasons was that the Greeks were ruling at that time, and they had this incredible, beautiful language. So they had six words for love. They had a word for love for your family, one for a friend, and all these other things. In English language, you know, I love my car, I love my wife, I love my job. It kind of waters it down to what love really means. So they had to come up, when they discovered the Lord and discovered his just unending, unchangeable love that God had for them, they had to come up with a new word. And they came up with the word agape, which means unconditional love. He loves you on your best day the same way he loves you on your worst day.
That's right.
So that helps us to define more of what love is, what God's kind of love is. And so that's how the Greeks came about it.
Amen. I think that's great. It reminds me of a funny little story. So the other day, Christian was with me and telling a story on you. And he said to me, he knows there's a show that we really like to watch. And he's like, do you love that Superman show? And I said, no, I like that Superman show, but I love you. He's like, I was testing you. I'm like, whoa, you're testing me. Okay. But it's true. You know, we can get familiar with the things that are in relation to love. So I think it's important that we're careful with that. Let's go to John 3:19, where Jesus is talking about the future. And he says, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Another result of familiarity is a misplacement of our love. So you can become so familiar that your love starts to shift into other areas that it should not be in. So we start to prioritize other things, and then we invite mixture into our hearts, mixture into our lives. We become sometimes selfish lovers of self, and that opens up the door for other things. So when we grab onto things where we say, oh, this is personality, or this is my culture, or this is who I am, God made me this way, you know, I'm fiery, I'm this, I'm that. I have the right to say what I want to do. I have the right to say what I want to say and do what I want to do. You know, when we do things, that's more in a place of love of self. And when we exalt self, it brings everything else down. It brings God down in our hearts. And so we have to, like Paul said, die to ourselves daily. And we should ask ourselves, make a heart check and say, what do I love more? Am I loving myself right now the most? Like, how am I really making sure that my love for God is number one, that I'm continuing to press forward in his love and learn love and be love? So the principle is assess what you love, because it's easy for us not to do it and keep going on, and the next thing we know, we're like, man, I don't think that I've grown in this area, or how did I get to this place? We build up layers and other things, and we realize we're not loving the way God designed us to love. So, Elder Eddie, why do you think it's so easy for our love to be misplaced?
Well, part of it is, there's a scripture that says, you're supposed to pray to the Lord, look into my heart and see if there's any, the word says wicked, what that really means, twisted way. Mm. See if there's any twisted way in my heart. Is my heart being twisted in the wrong direction? See if there's any twisted way in me. And I'll tell you, if you pray that prayer, the Lord will show you. And it's not going to be, you know, as a saved person, something drastic.
Right.
It could just be, you know, Eddie, you've really been spending a lot of time watching TV, and you're really not spending enough time sharing time with your wife. Wow. That's a little twisted way there. And so he's letting me know that. I go, okay, Lord, I'm gonna turn that around and take the percentage down on this and raise it on that. So that's how you don't let things get familiar, because we're like on a ship. When a ship is sailing, or when they shoot a rocket to the moon, every 2-3 minutes they're checking to see if they're on the right direction. They move left and right, and that's how we have to be with our life, because familiarity can really creep in, mm-hmm. and affect us that way.
I think too, culture. What's going on in the world around us, other people's voices are constantly trying to define what love is, right? There's people standing on platforms We know we're in the middle of these times where there's a lot of platforms, there's a lot of soapboxes that people are getting on and saying, I'm doing this in the name of love, love for mankind, love for people, love for my race, love for the gender equality, love for this, love for that. It's all over. But ultimately, we should have, our love should first and foremost be defined by God's word. Because, you know, just like we'll read ahead later on about 1 Corinthians 13, if we get up and we start to just talk out of our passion, talk out of our hearts, but our hearts are not in the right place, it's not with the love of God, we begin to sound like noise to everybody else. It doesn't impact as much. Yeah, it impacts, but it doesn't cause a transformation. If we want to see transformation in this world, we've got to be carriers of God's spirit and his love. So we're not just living in a spiritual, in a natural world, but a spiritual world. What we're seeing in our world today, it looks like it's battle of parties, battle of backgrounds and races, but there's so much more than that. It is a spiritual war going on, and we have to be able to see it. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we have to know that there are forces at work trying to redefine what love is, trying to infiltrate the church, trying to divide people, all people. And so we have to be able to recognize that and identify it so we don't fall into that. We have to know also how to define what love is not, which the Bible defines that. And before I read that, I was just amazed. God gave me this scripture this morning, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, which talks very strongly about what God is not for and when it comes to love. It says, as soon as it pulls up, technology.
Let me share on that principalities. Please. You know, mentioned about principalities in that scripture in Ephesians. You want to make sure you're not agreeing with the principles that are not in the scriptures. When we agree as Christians with principles that are not in the scriptures, we empower principalities. And that's how the Lord said, all power and authority has been given to me.
Yes.
And then he said, and now I give it to you. So we have that. So the words that come out of our mouth when we're agreeing with principles that are against God's word, thinking we're being merciful, we are empowering the principalities over that city that we live in. Come we're on. Supposed to be the ones that lead the culture.
Yes.
But
thank you.
Barnum polls say that only, back in the day, it was only 15% of Christians have a biblical worldview. I was shocked when I heard that. And now it's down to 6%. So when we look at the troubles of the world and the culture and we want to point fingers, no, we're supposed to be the ones in charge. We're
right.
The ones that are supposed to be setting the culture. But if we're not lined up to the Lord's word and what he says, as tough as it can be, some of these scriptures are kind of tough, but it's called tough love.
It is.
As much love in these tough scriptures than 1 Corinthians 13 and John 3:16.
Right.
It's a father saying to you, listen, this is love and this is love. So that's how we got to make sure we have a biblical worldview.
Yes.
In how we vote, in the decisions we make, in the way we speak.
All right, so we're up and running now. Everybody listen up, this is so good. Seven things God hates. There are six evils God truly hates and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior. Spreading lies and rumors, spilling the blood of the innocent, plotting evil in your heart toward one another, gloating over doing what's plainly wrong, spouting lies and false testimony, and stirring up strife between friends. These are entirely despicable to God. That is just so amazing to me. If you look at this and you look at the times, it's all around. It's all over. But it's not for us to say, oh my goodness, there's so much negativity and so many things. It's for us to examine ourselves and say, am I a part of this? Or am I part of what God says love is? Am I adding to the equation, or am I taking away from it? So with that in mind, go to Ephesians 6. I'm sorry, I just read that. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 6. You should know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. I think that's amazing. You know, we have to say, am I being a reflection of the love of God, or am I getting myself to a place where I'm allowing other things to become number one, allowing my love for this movement, my love for this this topic, my love for my passion, whatever it is, we've got to lay it down before God and say, God, number one is the kingdom. How can I establish the kingdom on this earth? Everything else comes second. If we put God first, the word says, if we put him first, everything else will be added. We don't need to run around frantically. We don't need to be just running our mouths, trying to convince people of stuff. We need to be led by the Spirit in what we say. We need to be discerning and speak. When we speak truth, let it be because the Lord told you to speak truth, and do it in the spirit of love.
Amen. That is so good, Pastor Kirk. That's awesome. That last scripture you read about the eight things that God hates, we're supposed to hate what God hates, right, and love what God loves. But we can hate the things and love the people. That's where you get the tightrope. You got to make sure you could hate these things that God hates, right, but know that it's these principalities and powers that is, right, behind it. And that's where you do your warfare. You don't do it with people. You know, they're just deceived, just like I was for 14 years of my life. And so that I wanted to touch on that. Verse 2 says in the Aramaic, they mock what is all right. They mock all the right things. They're rejectors of grace.
Wow.
They actually reject grace is what they're doing. Mm. And then in verse 3, they said they're slanderers. And slanderers is one of the attributes of Satan.
Yes,
the so they're like they're being used by the accuser of the enemy. They're like being one of his devils. That's right. What they're doing. But still, we could hate what's happening, but love the people and pray for them.
Yes. And Matthew 24, 10 and 12 says, many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. I don't want my love to grow cold because I'm not paying attention to what God is saying, and only to the stuff that's happening in current events. It's so important for us to keep the main thing the main thing. Let us not let our love grow cold, but let us be connected to the source of love, the best love that there is. So when we think of that, you know, everything that we say is, we have to use the filter of God, the filter of his love. When I think of people coming out as confrontational for the sake of being confrontational, like, you know, say, some people like to say, I wish somebody would come at me, or, you know, like just silly things like that. It is a revealer of the heart of where we are, and we don't need to be there. We don't need to. Another one is, I need to speak my truth. There's one truth. There's one truth, and it's the word of God. We can't just take our own thing and say, well, this is, you know. So we also don't need to be judgmental. You know, we need to, when we go a little bit earlier from John 3:18 says, God did not send his son to condemn the world. If Jesus did not come to condemn the world, we should not be condemners. We should not be going around trying to condemn everybody. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. Look at him. He needs to step down. He needs to do this. That's not the spirit of Christ. Okay, he came to save us. He came to bring love. He came to bring life, joy, beautiful things. So if we are made in his image, we are carriers of his love. Our love should reflect Jesus' love. Our love does not need to be Pastor Corinne's version of love, Elder Eddie's version of love, your version of love. We should be a vessel that is completely ready and open for God to fill us up and then us dispense love at any moment. So in order to do that, we have to, though, always make sure we're in the right place. How do we do that? By repenting. There's this mentality that's kind of snuck in that says we don't have, you know, repent. Jesus came, he forgave us, you know, we should repent. It's important. But there's like this whole thing of like repent without people saying it. It's like you don't have to repent often. You know, we're redeemed. And no, we need to repent often. Repent daily. When Paul said, I die to myself daily, it's because we are made of flesh. And without the spirit of the living God, when we're left to ourselves, we move in the opposite direction. So it's important that we repent daily, that we recognize without his spirit, without his strength, without his love, that we can go astray. So the principle, repent daily and repent often. Prophet Eddie, you had some great revelation about repentance. Can you share a little bit more about that with us, please?
Well, first I want to backtrack a little bit why we repent. One of them is, you know, we know that when we get born again, we died with Christ,
right,
and then we're raised up with him. So we have a new nature. We have a new spirit. What's left behind is old habits.
Right.
So that's what we're repenting of. That nature, I don't have a fallen nature. That nature has been crucified with Christ, and I'm redeemed with him. I'm seated with him. We all know the scriptures. But what's happened is these are just old habits that need to be broken in our minds and in our emotions. So that's why repentance is so important. Now, when you first get saved, you repent, you weep, you cry, and it's a sorrowful redemption and repentance. And that happens to a lot of us, especially when you've done some crazy things like I did. But repentance in the Greek, which again, I believe the Lord came at that time so the Greek language could break this down for us, means to turn around and walk the other way. You are habitually walking a certain way because it was your old nature. You're walking in a dead way. He shows you that it's wrong, and you turn around and go the other way. Mm. It could be simple things. It's usually not great adjustments in your life, but it's things that the Lord works at the right time when he starts knocking on your heart and he says, listen, I haven't brought this up before, but we really need to work on this. Yeah. I remember Pastor Wayne would tell him a story of how someone could get saved and they've got 10 major issues in their life. It's alcohol, it's drugs, it's all these things. But the first thing the Lord worked on their heart was to stop lying.
Right.
And the reason the Lord did that is because he knew that person was going to show up to work one day, they were going to lie to their boss, and they were going to get fired.
Wow.
So he deals with these things step by step to get these habits out of our lives.
Right.
But we've got to ask him also. He's not always going to be knocking on your heart. You've got to invite him in and say, hey, Lord, he says, I'm knocking. Are you going to invite me? Yes. Are you going to invite me to your heart to say, hey, Lord, is there anything wrong? Is there any twisted way in any habits of my thinking? Am I thinking too much like the world recently and not more like your word and not like you? Jesus said, I came to show you the Father.
Yes, come on.
So everything Jesus did while he was walking on the earth was to show the Sermon on the Mount. It's to show you the Father, how much he loves. They didn't really understand love. But we need to. We need to really understand and be able to repent. And it's not a sorrowful thing. It's just a changing of your mind, knowing. And it's a great, it's exciting because you realize, oh, this is for my good. This is so I could be a better testimony. This is so I could have a better life. This is so I could walk fully in the new life that he's given me as a born-again Christian.
It's about renewing our minds. Can you tell them, because this was so good, you had told me about that moment that you had with God where he talked to you about isolation.
Wow. I was going through a really... 2020 hasn't been tough for me because 2019 was just... Whew, you know, like, wow. I moved back to Florida. I'm driving a forklift. My wife's in North Carolina. I'm down here. We're trying to sell the house. It takes like 9 months. I'm living in people's homes. They're very nice. They're beautiful. But I'm missing my wife. And in the middle of all this, I have an accident on a forklift and break four bones in my foot. 40 years work for this company, never been hurt. And I'm going, Lord, what is going on? It's like, it's crazy. So I end up spending light duty. So 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day sometimes, I would sit in a big conference room with nothing to do but read my Bible and watch videos on teachings. And I was, man, I'm in heaven now. This is great. I got the broken foot. It's getting better. It's okay. I'm not in pain. And so I'm reading through the Proverbs, and I read a scripture that says, those who like to isolate themselves want their own way. Wow. And I couldn't read any further. Because the Lord said, Eddie, that's you. I know you like to say to people you're an introvert. That's kind of, and we are, person. That's my major personality. But I have a spiritual personality that trumps that.
Amen. Come on. Yes.
See, that's the nature I was born with. But what I was reborn with is not that nature.
Yes.
You get full with the Holy Ghost, you got boldness.
That's a good word.
So what I realized was that at that moment became repentance. It was unacceptable anymore. I couldn't use the deception of the excuse of that's who I am, because that's not who I am.
Yes.
Because I don't want to have to want my own way all the time. That's kind of selfish and totally opposite of what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be selfless.
Right.
So he put me in check that day, and I repented. And you know what I love? I love when I find out that something in my thinking is wrong.
So good.
Because I'm getting set free.
Correct.
And it's the things that we know, it's when you know the truth that you get set free.
Right.
And that's a continually knowing. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to be knowing about him for all eternity.
Correct.
So our growth here should be continual. And it happens to us as Christians, you know, 34 years, I mean, tons of Bible reading and conferences, and you get to know so much that you get to a stage where you get into familiarity. You think, I've arrived.
Yeah.
And that's where self-righteousness now becomes to creep in. And that's what Jesus said. There's three leavens to watch out for. And one of them is the leaven of the Pharisees, who thought their righteousness was because of the way they lived and what they did. And the only righteousness we have is the gift he's given us.
Right.
And it's a continual growth.
Yes.
So that's why we want to make sure that, you know, you let the Lord kind of check on you every once in a while, or you're reading the scripture and you stop. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to grow in God that way.
The Bible says a fool hates to be corrected, but a wise person will receive correction. A wise person...
Yeah.
Opens their ear and says, Lord, how change me? How do I fix this? How can you help me fix this? I think that's great. Thank you for that vulnerable moment. Let's talk about 1 Corinthians 13. This is what love is. This is what love is. And let me just say, when we read through it, that chapter, we know it's the love chapter, but it truly does define what love covers. Love is a force that is beyond us, you know? So when we love the way that God loves, it's amazing. When we begin to love, if our love is not patient, if it's not kind, it's something we've made up. I'm going to have Elder Eddie share about this because I love this revelation. I think the people are going to be blessed.
Well, when Pastor Corinne said, or Joshua, actually, Pastor Joshua asked me, hey, you're going to be teaching next Sunday, and it's going to be part of the series of love. And, of course, right away, I get nervous and kind of intimidated. And so I get in the truck next day, and I'm already on the fast. And I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm saying, okay, this must be about 1 Corinthians 13, so let me start. rehearsing 1 Corinthians 13 and meditating on it, because I like to do that when I'm in the truck. I like to meditate on the Lord. So I said, okay, Lord, love is patient. God, you are patient. God, you've been so patient to me. You're so patient, Lord. And I'm kind of going over patience and what it means. And then I'm finally going, okay, let's get to kind. I know that's the next one. And he kept saying, no, you're not done with that yet. Yeah. I stayed on that all morning long. And then I had one of the most difficult times I've had in the truck in about a year. It was pouring rain. I'm flooded. You know, just everything seemed, it didn't go wrong. I don't want to say that, but it very challenging. Mm-hmm. And my patience was like this, razor thin. And I realized that I was so embarrassed. I mean, here I am meditating on patience, and I totally failed the test. So I stopped when finally I could catch myself. I took my break and I said, Lord, you know what just happened here? I thought we were going strong on this patient thing, and I was going to be teaching it. How am I going to teach something I'm so lacking in? And the Lord reminded me of Paul. He said, listen, Paul boasted in his weakness.
Yes.
And I got it. I said, wow, Lord, obviously my patience tank is very low and I can't fill it up. You don't have patience. That's who you are.
Come on.
Give me more of who you are. And the rest of the week, it was like I was on holiday. It was incredible. So that's the things we want to find out. It's not a shameful thing to find out where you fall short. It's a check to say, okay, Lord, that's the part I need for you to fill me up. And it was, and then finally we got to kind, and we meditated on that a little bit. And then he spoke to me, says, listen, you'll never be kind until you become patient. That's why he wouldn't let me get to the second part. Listen, body language is 85% of communication. So when you're sitting with someone and they're telling you their heartbreak and what they're going through, you have to be patient and be in the moment, and nothing else matters to you at that time. See, I learned that from Apostle and from Pastor Joshua. You got to be there. And it doesn't matter. You don't look at your watch. You don't go, they know from your body language and the Holy Spirit in you whether you really care of what they're telling you. And when you do, something pours out of you. Obviously, it's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a word of wisdom. Then you've got a word of knowledge. Yes. Then you've got a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. Prophetic doesn't come before 1 Corinthians 13. It does chapter 12 describing it. It's a great description. Be passionate for it. You know, pursue it. But he also says desire love. And then when he finally gets into 13, he's listen, let me show you more excellent way, the most excellent way. I mean, which means these gifts that everybody loves and it won't work without this. Mm. It just won't work. It'll be like putting a Band-Aid on a big surgery that has to happen. Because the love part to implement that word was not there. God's love. And it has to start with patience and then kind and then all the other parts. This is what frustrated me with the prophetic for many years. Went to many conferences, got all these prophecies that they gave me, cassettes, written them down, notebooks. And it was not transformative. It felt great. It was encouraging. It built me up. But it did not transform me. Because what was missing was that love. It was coming from people I didn't know. You came into town. I honor you. You're awesome. Great teacher. Great word. And then they're gone. It's like having a father that you only see once a year.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go do this prophetic thing. And when I looked at it and I felt it, I said, I can't do that. I can't give my life to that. There's got to be something more. And it took me a long time. And this is it. This is prophetic community. This is 1 Corinthians 13. It's actually, the Lord says, don't tell me you love me if you can't love your brothers and sisters. And that's not just your brothers and sisters that you get along with.
Come on. Yes.
That's your brothers and sisters. If we haven't started there, how are we going to start in the world? Because you can't fool the world, I'll tell you that. You cannot fool them. They could tell in our heartbeat because they're out in the world, a tough place. And so this is what we have to do. We really need to grow in this love of who God really is. And his attributes are here. They're all in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is where we need to, this is where, if we're going to see, and we are going to see, the greatest move of God on the planet that's ever happened. If we're going to see that, it's going to, because they're going to say, like in the book of Acts, wow, those people really love each other. The last days of John the Apostle's life, he was so weak he couldn't walk. They would carry him around from church to church in his 90s. And all he would say was, children, love one another.
Come on.
Come on, man. We want great revelation. But greater than revelation, the greatest revelation is walking and knowing this love. It really is, because it's the only way you're really going to know God for who he is. And that's an everlasting knowing and knowing each other in love.
So much of our success is tied to our knowledge and understanding of the word. When we see it talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, you have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit to really activate this, activate the love of God in you. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It ends with self-control, but you have to have that to be able to do the rest. We are living in a day where we really need to operate by self-control. Submit our lives fully to God and say, Lord, I repent if I've allowed you to become familiar to me, if I've allowed love to become something familiar. God, I reassess where my heart is at and say, Lord, let your love be in me. I don't want to fabricate something, but I want it to be genuine. And then repent and say, God, I give you full control. I turn away from what I've been doing and I ask you to take me further to the next place. And then continuously measure our lives by the word. Measure our love by the word, because it's limited. Our love is limited without him. So, Elder Eddie, I'm going to ask you to pray, but I do want to say this. I want to encourage you. No matter what you see happening in our world today, God loves us and he wants to prosper us and he wants to take us to greater places of faith. We have to just be in position. We have to be ready. We have to make sure that our vessels, that our spirit is in the right place. So I just wanted to encourage you with that today, because God is calling us to love like he loves so we can really see transformation take place.
Can we all stand up in unity? We're reading a chapter in the prophetic class coming up, and it's about unity. It's not a coincidence. That's what the church is called.
Yes.
Father, we just come before you as one. As one body, Lord. Father, we're asking you to, in this time of refreshing, in this time of the greatest move of your Holy Spirit that's ever happened, let it begin here in our hearts. Release the fullness of the love that you have for us and through us for one another as brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, let us explore the depth, the deep part of you, the deep revelatory part of your love, the highest heavenly experience of love with you, Lord. The width, Lord, the everlasting reach of your love through us towards others, and the breadth, Lord, the future. Let us reach into that dimension, just like King David did. He reached into the future and pulled down revelation of your love and built that tabernacle of David, Lord. 24/7, praise and worship. Father, help us to now move in those realms of your love like never before in this time and this season, Lord. Our eyes are on you, Lord, and our hearts are expected for you to do the greatest move you've ever done through us, Lord, as we grow in your love for you and for each other and then for the world. We ask you for this, Father, in your precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And if you're here and you're saying, I've heard about God, I've heard people talk about his love and all this, but you don't know it for yourself and you want to, I want you, everybody to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I come before you with an open heart. I recognize that I need you and I repent of everything. I ask you, Jesus, to come in my heart, make me new, and show me the way I should live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.